Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to get right into this. I've got a lot written down anyway. I'm not going to say everything that's written down because I know you got to go to bed sometime tonight. But Proverbs chapter 4. I heard that Brother Nielsen only preached for about 30 minutes last week. And I just hope that you don't get spoiled. Amen. Stand with me, please. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. I'll tell you what, let's begin reading in verse 11. Proverbs 4, verse 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. For she is thy life. Enter not, and here's the instruction. He says, take fast hold of this instruction. Don't let it go. Keep her. She is thy life. And here's the instruction. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Some people are not happy unless they're hurting other people. And I think you probably know someone like that. There's a lot of people like that. Verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness, they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Let me leave off reading there. Look back with me at verse 15. Excuse me. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I preach to you tonight on avoiding Satan's temptations. Avoiding Satan's temptations. Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, this is such a crucially, vitally important message, Lord, but they all are truly from your word. They're there for a reason. God, help us tonight to pay attention, keep our focus on your Holy Spirit, your voice. Lord, work, I pray, encourage, lift up the fallen. God, save the lost, strengthen the weak. Lord, do the work that only you can do in our hearts. Bind Satan, God, now. We pray that you would not allow him to interfere, distract us in any way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. There's a song in our hymnal called Yield Not to Temptation. And it's a good song. We sing it once in a while. And the message of the song is fine. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And that's true. It's a good song. Excuse me. I only want to point out, though, that there's a much more effective way to avoid the temptation altogether. There's a much more effective way to have victory. The song says something like this, each victory will help you some other to win. Each time you don't yield to temptation, it's a victory. Are you listening to tonight? Every time that we don't yield to temptation, by the way, yielding means we give in to it. A temptation is not a sin, but it leads to sin. So every time we don't yield to temptation, we resist temptation, it's a victory. Every time we sin less today than we did yesterday, that's victory, man. That's victory. That's what we're looking at. As Christians, I want to sin less than I used to. I'm never going to be perfect, but I want to be more perfect than I was last week. And I want to strive, but most people understand what temptation is. But I want to point out tonight quickly that there's really two different kinds of temptation in the Bible. One is God's, and one is Satan's. You say God tempts us. He tempts us, church. But listen now. Let me teach you a little bit. Never does he tempt us to sin. He never tries to trip us up to make us sin. He does not want us to sin. Little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. God does not, he's not tempted, neither can he tempt any man. He will never tempt us to sin. When God tempts us, the Bible uses that word more than once, he is, listen now, he's trying our faith to prove our hearts. He is testing our faith in order to prove our hearts. He did that with Abraham. He told Abraham to take his son Isaac up to the top of Mount Moriah and offer him up a burnt offering. He did that to Noah. He told Noah, build an ark, I'm going to send rain. He did that to Moses. He told Moses to go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He did that to Elijah. He said, Elijah, go down by the brook Cherith and I'm going to feed you with the ravens. He did that to Elisha. He did it over and over to Jeremiah and Isaiah the prophets. He did not ever tempt them to sin. He simply told them what to do, but what he told them required faith. And when God tells us something in the Bible that we can't do without faith, he's not tempting us to sin. He's testing our faith to prove to us where our hearts are. Amen. It's still temptation, though. Satan, however, tempts our flesh in order to poison our hearts. Let me say that again. God tries our faith to prove our hearts. Satan, he is tempting us, our flesh, to sin in order to poison our hearts. Every time we sin, we poison ourselves a little more. Anyone that God, listen now, has or ever is going to use for His glory has to go through trials of their faith in order to be proven, in order to be tested, tried, and proven that they can do it. Esther was tried, her faith was tried. She had to go into the king's chambers, uninvited, which could have caused her to die. And she was placed, and the Bible says, in that position, in that place, for such a time as that. Such a time as this. And she, at first she was afraid. She said, I can't do this. If I go into the king's chamber uninvited, he will kill me. And he had the right to do that. But she said, okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast for 3 days. And I'm going to go in, and if I perish, I perish. She didn't perish. She didn't perish. But she had to believe God. She had to have faith. And her faith was put on trial. And listen, it was proven that she had faith when she went in. It was proven. Like I told you this morning in Sunday school, Rahab's faith was tried. It was proven that she believed God. Why? Because she put those two spies in her house and she hid them from the king at risk of her own life. She didn't just believe, but she proved it by her works. It was proven. And when God tries our faith, the only thing that's going to prove that we believe God is that we obey Him. And when we disobey Him, it also proves that we don't really believe Him. But I think of Daniel. Daniel was a tremendous man of faith. Daniel was living in the Persian kingdom, and they made a decree. Nobody will ever pray to any other god other than the god of the Medes and Persians upon penalty of death. If you're found praying to any other god, you will be put to death. Well, Daniel was not going to stop praying, and neither should you for any reason. I mean, I don't care who gets elected this year. We cannot stop praying for our country. We must not stop praying for souls to get saved. We must not stop praying. Daniel was not going to stop praying. Well, they caught him. They threw him in the lion's den. God shut the mouths of the lions all night long. Listen, Daniel, though, knew that when he went to God in prayer, that he was risking his life. That he could have died.
Right.
But he knew that the Bible said, his God said, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
So in faith, he did what God said, and his heart was proven that he really did believe God.
Amen. Right.
See, these are trials of our faith. That God's never tempting us to sin. He's just putting our faith on trial to see if it's real.
Amen.
It's easy to say we have faith, isn't it? The Apostle Paul was stoned, shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned multiple times, left for dead more than once. His faith was tried many times. John the Beloved, the disciple, was boiled in a hot, boiling pot of oil. Boiled alive, but he didn't die. Can you imagine what his skin looked like after that? Can you imagine what he looked like after that? But God then used him to write for us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the book of Revelation. I mean, God tried his faith, and then God used him in a mighty way. I'm trying to get us to see that when God tries our faith, he's trying to make us stronger. But when Satan tempts our flesh, he wants us to go ahead and sin. He's not trying to make us stronger. When God tries our faith, he's trying to make us better. But Satan's trying to make us bitter. God wants us to be fortified, strong, protected. Satan wants us to fall on our faces and fail. God wants to stabilize us, establish us, and settle us. Satan just wants to stomp all over us. God wants us to be his, completely, sold out, in love with him and loyal to him every day. But Satan just wants us to be history, a has-been. God wants us to be sweet. Satan wants us to be sour. What's that little song goes? Jesus wants everybody happy. Jesus wants everybody happy. Jesus wants everybody glad. Jesus wants everybody happy, happy, happy. And he doesn't want anybody sad. Satan wants everybody grumpy. Satan wants everybody mad. The devil wants everybody grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. And he doesn't want anybody glad. It's completely opposite. God says, I want to make you happy, sweet. I want you to be a joy to the world. And Satan says, I want you to be sour and grumpy. Sin does that to you, doesn't it? It sure does. God wants us to grow in our faith, grow in our grace, grow in the knowledge. And Satan just wants us to groan. Oh, here we go again. Amen. God wants us to love him.
Right.
Satan wants us to lose everything. Big difference. And God wants us to latch onto the Bible and never let it go. Satan wants us to just let go and live a little.
Right.
God wants us to be safe and sound. Satan wants us to be a statistic.
Amen.
Used to go to that church. I used to try that. God wants us to be somebody. You know what? Like I said this morning, we're complete in Christ. We can do all things through Christ. So can you. God wants us to be somebody for his glory. Satan wants us to be sorry we were ever born. You know there's Christians, born again children of God, who have committed suicide?
Right.
And it's all because of temptation to sin that Satan put in front of them and they were not able to avoid it. God wants to make us wiser.
Right.
Wise as serpents.
Right.
Harmless as doves. Satan wants us to make us whine and complain. God's trying to make us develop our character. You know what character is? His character is honesty and integrity and righteousness and uprightness and doing the right thing, trustworthy, dependable, faithful, and loyal. Character. Satan wants to destroy us completely and overcome us and conquer us. God wants to make us perfect and entire. Satan wants to make us poor and empty. Poor and empty. God wants to fill us with more grace. He says, I'll give you more grace. Satan wants to feed us more of his garbage. Big difference. God wants our lives to abound with blessings. Satan wants to abhor and detest us even being saved. He wants us to hate even being saved. I have heard people with my own ears say, I wish I had never gotten saved. I'm telling you right now, that was a young lady who did not avoid temptation. Satan won in her heart. Let me give you some verses to reiterate what I'm saying tonight. Avoiding Satan's temptation. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Don't turn there, just listen. You can write it down if you want to, but it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it even appears to be evil, abstain from it. Stay away from it. Avoid it. 1 Corinthians 6:8 says, flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, flee from idolatry. Get away from it. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Resist him. Stay away from him. Luke 22:40. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Not even enter into it. Pray. Matthew 6:13. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation. Romans 13:14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust there. He says, even make provision for it. Don't even make a place for it. Don't even give it a foothold. Don't even open the door. Make no provision for the flesh. Avoid it completely. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, from such turn away. From such turn away. Proverbs 4:27, right there where you're at. Look at it. Verse 27. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 5:8 is right there as well. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. Now listen, let me stop right there for a minute. God's telling men especially, but this works for any temptation, that we're not even to go near the door of her house. I'm not supposed to try to win her to Christ. If I know that this is a temptation, if I know that this is Satan's temptation to make me sin, to make me a shame and disgrace, then I avoid the door of her house. Not just her house, but even the door. There's a reason God says these things. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10. My son, if sinners I see, consent thou not. And there is verse after verse after verse. God doesn't say, don't sin. He says, stay away from even the temptation to sin. Because temptation, lust, bringeth forth sin. It's never going to end good. It's always best to just avoid it completely. Avoid it. Again, look at our text, Proverbs 4, verse 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. If you know it's there, hey, listen. If you're driving down the road and you know that there's a billboard that just always catches your eye and tempts you to sin or lust, go a different way. Amen. You say, that's ridiculous, preacher. Why is that ridiculous? God says, don't even pass by it. Amen. Turn from it. You know, if you have a problem with alcohol, you ought not even look at a bar. If you have a problem with cigarettes, you ought not even look at the box of cartons of cigarettes in the gas station. If you have a problem with pornography, you probably not even should have a computer. I'm talking about avoiding it completely. The temptation, turn from it. Pass away. Go the other way. Avoiding temptation. Now, temptation leads to sin. Tonight I want to help you with a few examples from the Bible of men, in this case, that were tempted, but they avoided the temptation. And then I want to show you how they avoided the temptation. Okay? That makes sense? Everybody with me? Say amen. Amen. So let's find out, then, how can we avoid temptation? We're going to start back in the book of Genesis. Now go ahead with me to Genesis chapter 39. Avoiding Satan's temptations. Genesis 39, verse 1. I'm going to talk about a man named Joseph first. Genesis 39, verse 1. Joseph, that's easy to find, amen? First book in the Bible. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. He was with Joseph, in verse 2. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Folks, listen. When God's with you, people are going to notice. People are going to notice. And then it says in verse 3, the master saw that. Verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he put in his hand. So Potiphar was a very rich man in Egypt. Joseph had been was a Jewish boy, had been sold into slavery by his own brothers. Now listen. You that may sound to you like a temptation to sin, but that was simply God trying his faith. Again, there's a big difference. You got to know the difference. God does not tempt us to sin. Whenever things go wrong, because of God's will, it's not a temptation to sin. It's a trial of our faith. Joseph was not doing anything wrong. Joseph was not doing anything wicked or sinful, but his brothers hated him because he was not doing anything wrong. You know that people will dislike you simply because you are a Christian? Can you believe that? Yes, you better believe that. There are going to be many people who just simply don't want to be around you because you aren't grumpy like they are. Because you don't laugh at the dumb jokes and the dirty jokes that they say. Because you won't participate in their drunk fests. Because you won't curse like they curse. Because, as a matter of fact, you walk away when they start talking like that, and they simply don't like you. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You ought to pass away from it. That's what the Bible says. Joseph, however, was not doing anything wrong. His brethren sold him into slavery, but he got bought as a slave by a man named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, a very high-ranking official. And right off the bat, we see God taking care of this young man. Amen. Now, this man Potiphar made Joseph the overseer of everything that he had in his house. Boy, the life of Joseph is a tremendous study. He is one of the greatest types of Christ in the Old Testament. This man named Potiphar saw that God was with Joseph, and he made him basically the steward, the manager of everything in his house. He said, I'm just going to leave it all to you, Joseph. I trust you. I know God's with you. I can tell you're a trustworthy young man. And God's grace, God's blessing, God's giving favor to Joseph, Potiphar made him basically the manager of everything that this man had. God blessed him right off the bat. Even, can I say this? Listen now. Even in slavery, God still blessed him. What does that mean? He was a stranger in a strange land. He was sold into slavery by his own family. They hated him, but God never forsook him. God never left him alone. You and I, folks, listen, I'm not gonna belabor the point here, but you and I are not at home right now. This world is not our home. We're saved children of God. We're citizens of another world. Amen? Another city. We're heavenly citizens. We're already seated in heavenly places. Are y'all alive tonight? Amen? Okay, thank you. So there's a lot of similarities here. But even in another country, even in a less than favorable situation, Joseph was faithful. Joseph believed God, and God was making Joseph stronger. God was making Joseph better. God was making Joseph more useful for the future. Satan, however, like I told you, was not going to let this happen without a fight. Right. Every one of you sitting here tonight is sitting in church on a Sunday night on purpose. Thank God for you. God's working in your heart. You come to church, I promise you, through the preaching, the teaching, the prayer, the fellowship, God is preparing you and making you better, making you stronger, helping you become more useful for Him. But Satan is not going to take it lying down. The people that just stay home all the time and quit coming to church, well, he already won the battle with them. He's going to leave them alone. He's working on you now because he wants you to be the next statistic. Verse 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Now, I think you know what that means. She wanted to have an immoral affair with Joseph. But, in verse 8, he refused. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said unto his master's wife, look in verse 8, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house." He said, my master completely trusts me. He doesn't even know what's in his house anymore. It's completely in my control. He hath committed, look in verse 8, he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, in verse 9. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It came to pass in verse 10, as she spake to Joseph day by day. I mean, she did not quit. Folks, Satan doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. We quit. We're quitters. Satan doesn't quit. I'm not glorifying Satan, but I'm telling you one thing. He has more character than a lot of Christians. He doesn't quit. When he gets his mind set on something, he doesn't quit. When he sees a man like Joseph who is being blessed and honored and exalted, he does not quit in trying to destroy. And you're next. He hearkened, verse 10, day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He said, I'm not going to lie with you. I'm not even going to be with you. It can't. So right there, he's already avoiding even being, remember what I read to you? Even coming nigh the door of her house. Even being around her. It came to pass in verse 11, about this time Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment. She came into the house when no one else was around. She caught him. She grabbed a hold of his clothes and said, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." So she, when he ran away, she lied about him. She said that he was trying to force her. And the fact is, of course, it was all a lie. But here's what I want to get to. Satan filled this woman's heart and caused her to become a great temptation to Joseph. He was a young man. He was not married. And you know, men, especially, and women, both, we all know. These kids don't understand it completely. But Satan knows where to get us. Satan knows what to use to tempt us. Joseph literally ran away in verse 13. He fled forth. Was fled. He literally ran away. The Bible says to flee fornication. And he did that. But here's what. Why aren't more Christians fleeing it? Now, again, I don't want to get into gross detail. Obviously, we're not going to do that. But he didn't hang around and try to resist her. He got away. Let me say that again. In other words, he didn't keep listening to her filthy mouth. He didn't keep looking into her wicked eyes. He didn't keep looking at her ungodly clothes. Egyptian ladies were very immodest. It was a very wicked country. Still is. But in these days, it's always a picture of the world. The wicked ways of the world. He did not continue to listen and try to resist. He said, "I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm going to avoid this temptation altogether. That is not, listen, we are not strong enough to just keep playing with fire. Shall a man take fire in his bosom and not get burned? His clothes not be burned? If you play with fire, you will get burned. The point of what I'm trying to say here is Joseph didn't just keep on listening to her and looking at her and saying, oh no, and interacting with her. He said, I am out of here, and he literally ran out of the house. But here's what I want you to see. How was Joseph so strong? There was nobody else around. Nobody would have known. I want you to notice, number one, what I believe what helped him avoid temptation, listen now, is Joseph was grateful. Joseph was grateful. Again, look in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he had to prosper. Joseph found grace. The Lord was with him. Joseph found grace because of the Lord that was with him. The Lord made all that he did prosper. The Lord blessed him. God blessed him to the point where he was the head, number one man in charge of that whole house. And listen, when he was tempted, he knew that if I do this, I'm going to lose everything that I've been given. And out of gratitude for what God had blessed him with, he said, I am gone. You are not going to keep tempting me to commit this wicked sin. You and me have been given all the riches of all of heaven. They're ours. Apparently, maybe y'all didn't understand what I just said, but all of the riches of all of glory, we are heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs of God. Everything that God has now belongs to me because I'm His son. And I'm joint heir with Christ. I'm already seated in heavenly places. I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and I got saved. I got born again. I was given all of God's riches and glory, and through Jesus Christ, I'm complete in Him. I am born again. I am saved. And listen, when Satan comes to tempt me, all he's trying to do is take it all away. Now, he can't take away my salvation. He can't take away my home in heaven, but he sure can take away all of the blessings that go along with it. Joseph was blessed, greatly blessed. And he said, I'm not going to lie with you because I'm thankful for what God has done for me here. You say, well, Joseph was in a foreign land. He was a slave and his own brothers. But you know what? So what? God was making his life great. Even in bondage. Now, he was a slave. But listen to me. He was the head slave. He was the number one man in charge of all the other slaves. He said, Potiphar doesn't even know what is in his house anymore. He's just living his life and leaving it all up to me. I'm paying his bills. I'm taking the care of his dry cleaning. I don't think they had dry cleaning then. But I'm taking care of everything. And Joseph was thankful that God had blessed him. Today, folks, listen to me. I'm simply saying the first reason that will help you avoid temptation is to get thankful for what God has done. Be more grateful for what God has done. Stop groaning and complaining and whining about the negative things and start focusing on the blessing. You know, he could have said, well, I'm just a slave. My brothers hated me. They sold me into slavery. I don't deserve this. I think I'm just going to go ahead and do what this woman wants me to do. Because you know what? After all, God just left me here anyway. I mean, he could have complained. He was a slave. He was in Egypt as a Jew. He could have griped and whined and bellyached like most Baptists do. Well, I just don't have enough anyway. God just forgot about me. If you're saved, God didn't forget about you.
Amen.
God didn't forget about you.
Amen.
I don't see anybody in here starving. Stop looking. I don't see anybody in here starving. I don't see anybody in here without some clothes on your back. I don't see anybody here without a church home.
Amen.
Without a pastor. Without a Bible.
Amen.
Without a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't see anybody in here that I know of without a home in heaven.
Amen.
Now, when Satan comes to tempt us, if he catches us on a day where we're unthankful and ungrateful, guess what we're going to do? Okay, Satan, you're right. I think this looks better anyway. No, we have got to be careful to be grateful every day.
Amen.
He even told her, he said, you're crazy, woman. He said in verse 8, he refused and said unto her, behold, my master, what is not what is in me in the house? He has committed all that he hath to my hand. He was thankful that he had been blessed. He was thankful. He was not going to let this woman destroy it. Our God has been good to us, church. Amen. I know we're living in a strange land for a while. And a strange land it is. And it seems to be getting stranger every day. I mean, men are kissing men and women are marrying women. And it's just getting weird. It's getting too far out. Far out.
Amen.
But God still takes care of His children. And when Satan comes and says, why don't you do this? I mean, after all, it'll make you feel better. It'll make you happy. And if you're unthankful and ungrateful for what God has done for you, you're going to listen. You're going to listen to that temptation. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They had everything. I mean, they had the Garden of Eden. We talk about it. We dream about it. Heaven is going to be like that. The Garden of Eden. Paradise. Beautiful, precious, perfect, pure, undefiled. I mean, paradise. They had everything. But they couldn't stay away from that tree. I mean, there was millions of trees. But they couldn't stay away from that one tree. I'm here to tell you, I believe that they just weren't thankful enough for what they had. They weren't thankful enough. They had everything they could possibly want. Christians, we have more than we deserve. Don't we? I mean, well, I know there's things that we would like to change. I understand that. There's things I want to change too. But we cannot get to the place where we focus on that all the time and we become ungrateful and unthankful and miserable people, because right then and there is when that temptation is going to be in our face and we're going to give into it. Because we're not thankful. We're not thankful. I'm thankful. But I'm just like you. The temptation is to not be thankful, to focus on the negative. Joseph was a thankful man. Joseph avoided temptation. Adam and Eve did not. They went to the tree. They listened to the snake, the serpent. They believed everything he said. Why? Because they weren't thankful. You're going to believe Satan's lies when you're not thankful. He's going to tell you, you know, you could be making more money. You know, you could be doing this if you got out of that. If you just weren't so ate up with that church stuff, or so ate up with that Bible stuff, or you just weren't so ate up with that prayer stuff, or you weren't so worried about that soul winning stuff, you know, you could do this, or you could be that, or you could go here. And if you're not thankful for what God has already done and is doing, you're going to say, well, yeah, I think you're right, Satan. I think I will do that. And you're going to destroy the blessings. You're going to lay down the blessings for one season of sin. It might make you smile for a minute, but in return, you're going to lose everything, all the blessings that God has given you and is going to continue. By the way, the blessings of God don't end. He's going to continue. Even when it seems like things are going wrong, God's blessings are still there. He still does miracles many times we don't even know about. But what kept Joseph then? What made him? He didn't just resist it. He ran away from it. He was thankful. He was grateful for the blessings in his life. Adam and Eve, when they took part of that fruit, she ate the fruit. She gave it to her husband. They lost everything. They lost everything. God said, I'm going to save you. They were saved. But they had to leave the garden forever. Then she had to start having children the way you do, which is, from what I understand, very painful. I can't say, I know how you feel. I don't know how you feel. But I've been around it enough to know that it's painful for my wife. But that wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't eat that fruit. Aren't you mad at them now, ladies? You know, men have to get up and go to work and sweat and stink and get dirty and huff and puff and die early. And that's all because they didn't resist temptation. The curse was that Adam then had to work and with the sweat of his brow, the sweat of his face, make a living, and she had to have children the hard way. They lost everything. Then, one of their sons kills another one of their sons. Now, it's one thing to have babies and really hurt, but then to have one of those babies kill another one of those babies, literally murder his brother. They lost everything, and they even lost their children. Abel died, and Cain was cursed forever. Those were two boys. Why? Because they didn't stay away from one tree when they had so much to be thankful for. They had so many other things that they could have enjoyed. But they weren't thankful. They had to go mosey on around his tree and say, I wonder what that fruit tastes like. And it ain't like God just left them in the dark. God said, if you eat it, you're going to die. Well, everything that they had died. Are they going to be in heaven one day? I believe they will be. Are they going to say, you know what? I sure wish I wouldn't have done that. I think they're probably going to have at least a minute of regret. I promise you that they lost everything. They lost their family. And all because they weren't thankful. They weren't grateful. We become very vulnerable to Satan's temptations. We even start listening to him and believing what he says when we're unthankful. Joseph may have not been in his country. He may have not been with his family. But listen, he was in God's will. He was in God's will. You may not have everything you think you want or could have or whatever, but if you're in God's will, there is nothing in this world worth getting out. But if you start complaining about God's will for your life, you're easy prey.
Okay.
And you'll start listening to the devil's lies. Now notice, he didn't come to Joseph with a pitchfork and horns and some kind of red Halloween suit. He came in a very beautiful lady, sweet-talking lady, saying everything a young man would want to hear. He doesn't show up looking bad and mean and evil. He shows up looking good. Whatever you think is good, he's going to show up looking just like that. Joseph said, "No, ma'am. No, ma'am." I believe he was polite, amen. But he didn't say no, ma'am, very many. He just said, "I'm gone." See, I believe the rest of the times there was people around. This time she snuck up on him. She got behind him, I believe, and grabbed his garment when no one else was around. He was in the house by himself doing what he was supposed to do, busy about his master's business like you're supposed to be. But he was tempted and he was tried, but he was thankful enough to get away. I don't want to lose what I've got. You say, "Well, preacher, I know the story. He lost it all." No, 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 no. You're missing the point. He did not lose God's favor. Amen. He may have lost Potiphar's house, but that's not really what he was thankful for. He was thankful for God's favor, God's bless, God's grace. Amen. Well, yeah, he lost Potiphar's house. Potiphar came home, and he believed his wife. And he said, he could have killed, by the way, he could have killed Joseph easily. And anybody else, I believe he would have. But God was with this young man. And he lost Potiphar's house, he lost all of that, and then he got straight into the prison. But the Bible says that God was with him.
Amen.
He did not lose God's presence. He did not lose God's power. He did not lose God's comforting peace. Because he did not get out of God's will. How did he avoid temptation? By the way, again, it is the number one, especially in men, the number one temptation in men is this right here.
Right.
That's why the book of Proverbs is full of the "stay away from the strange woman." Stay away. Go not nigh the door of her house. Why do you think pornography is such an incredible, humongous industry worldwide? Because this is the number one temptation of all man. Satan knows that. And he filled that woman's heart. But Joseph was grateful. Have you ever noticed how the way you look at things determines how you see them? Duh. No, well, think about it for a minute. A glass of water, is it half full or is it half empty? Well, it depends on how you look at it. It depends on whether you're thankful for that water or not. If you're thirsty, I mean thirsty, boy, it's half full. But if you're full of water and you don't need it and you don't care about it and you're not thankful for it, that glass is half empty. Same glass, same water. Two different perspectives. Joseph's perspective was right. God's been good to me. God's blessed me. I'm getting away from this temptation. I'm not going to give up God's favor for nothing or nobody. I've got a lot more to say. I've got three or four other things. But you know, I'm out of time. So we'll get to these another time. But you know, the reason people get out of church, the reason people get out and so-called fall into sin, nobody trips and falls into sin.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Amen.
There's a temptation first. And they don't resist it. They don't avoid it. They play with it. They play with it. They play with it. And then lo and behold, it devours them. But first of all, tonight, if we'll remember, we need to be thankful for what God has given us. Maybe it's not everything we would thought we wanted, but stop looking at it that way. God is with us. God has blessed us. God has saved us. That's the number one reason. There's a lot more, but I'll get to them later. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for Joseph. Thank you for his example. Lord, I pray tonight as we think about this one life, this one man, that we would be more thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us, for what you do for us every day. God, you've fed us, you've clothed us, you've given us homes, jobs, health, loved ones, a church, a pastor, a Bible, a Holy Spirit, salvation. Lord, you protect us. You love us. You love our children. Lord, help us to be thankful. Lord, the temptation is always there to look at things wrong, to look at things from the wrong perspective. Help us tonight to fix that perspective, to stop looking at the negative things, but Lord, to focus on Jesus, to lift up our eyes and see afresh and anew our Savior, His blood, His resurrection, Your power, Your grace, Your mercy, Your eternal salvation. Oh God, we're not ever as thankful as we should be. Lord, help us tonight to get back to being thankful. So that, Lord, when the temptation comes, and it will, that we'll avoid it, we'll resist it, we'll flee, we'll run away, we'll get away from it. Because we're thankful, and we don't want to get out of your will. We don't want to lose your blessings. Bless this invitation tonight, please, we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. We don't need any music. Let's all stand to our feet. Are you as thankful as you should be? Do you see things the way you should? Are you looking at things from God's perspective? Let's spend time with the Lord tonight.